ladies and gentlemen, and fellow golfers, for your entertainment.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa, brought to you by the Hagen Oaks Golf Super Shop, America's most awarded golf facility. Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choices and always about quality.
Welcome in. This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour. This is Sacktown Sports 1140. I'm Frank LaRosa. Hello, Scott Marsh.
Hello, Frank LaRosa. How are you?
You know, I'm doing well. I'd love to be out playing golf, but we're in kind of our rainy season right now. It seems like every day there's going to be a little bit of rain. I suppose I should not complain about it. I'm just going to want to play, but you know, with a brand new grandchild, my hands are full right now.
Yes. By the way, congratulations. Your daughter, Michelle, just had her second child. And so that is just great news for the LaRosa family. And I'm just so happy for you.
It's very cool. Thank you very much. Coming up on the show today, Matt Jordan, PGA Master Professional, is the director of golf at the Olympic Club. And, you know, it's rare sometimes to get into a private club like that. So we're going to talk to Matt about the fact that he is the NCPGA Private Merchandiser of the Year Award winner, along with the fact that we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on at Olympic Club in terms of some of the changes and things they've done there.
And I know you'll ask about the burger dog.
No question. Now, you can't go to Olympic Club without eating a burger dog. Philip Dawson, PGA, is the NCPGA Teacher and Coach of the Year. Philip has taught a number of players, including Cameron Champ and Corey Pereira. We're going to talk to him a little bit about how you find the right coach, a little bit about his career, and what it's like to win the NCPGA Teacher of the Year Award.
Looking forward to it. He's one of the best.
He is indeed. All that and more coming up on this edition of the Golf to Go Radio Hour, and we will get started right after these messages.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sacktown Sports.
Thanks for listening. This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour. This is Sacktown Sports 1140, and the show continues. So, Scott, as I mentioned at the top of the hour, it's I haven't been able to play golf in a couple of weeks for a couple of reasons, and I don't know about you. Have you had the chance to get out there?
No, as I was lamenting when we spoke, you know, on the last show, I've played golf literally two times in the last 3.5 months.
You know, I don't know if you're aware, but if you're not playing at least twice a month, that's a prerequisite for being on this show, Scott.
I understand. I'm not living up to the minimum qualifications. You're going to have to find a new co-host.
I tell you what, we'll let you make up some of those as we move on into the summer. How's that?
It's good. And I am trying to follow through on some of Tom Morton's tips about how you can keep fresh, even if you're not able to get out on the course.
That's a really good thing to keep in mind. Coming up next week, the PGA show, PGA merchandise show, I guess is the correct title, happens in Orlando. And for a number of years, I was able to go and it really is, you know, it's been described as a candy store for golfers and so on and so forth. But with, 500 vendors or something like that. And it's been said that if you walked from one end of the PGA merchandise show to the other, you will have covered about 8 miles of booths. It's just spectacular. And I will say over the past couple of years, you know, especially during COVID and things like that, when things kind of fell off a little bit, the show is, you know, trying to get its feet under itself again, but that's coming up and I won't be there this year, but I know Ken Morton Jr. will be there and we'll certainly hear from him when he gets back about what's new and exciting at the PGA show.
Yeah, I'm just glad we're back to having these big conventions. Everybody can get together from across the country and see each other and learn from each other and see, find out what's new. And I know Ken certainly will get us caught up on all of that. And of course, one of the exciting things is that they're honoring golf shows and programs. And I know that this very show is up for an award, Frank. I'm very excited to see how that turns out.
Yeah, the ING Awards, which is a organization that's been around about 25 years, I guess, International Network of Golf, does their awards every year. And we are a finalist, I think, in both radio show and podcast. Unfortunately, I won't be there to find out whether we won or came in second. But Mike Woods from Hagen Oaks, the director of golf, will be in Orlando, and Mike has agreed to to go and let us know the great news or the not so great news.
he can let us down gently if we get the bad news, and he's a great representative if we do win.
I couldn't think of anyone better. Yeah, so that's coming up at the PGA Show, and again, it's hard to describe because I'm trying to find the words and I can't. The first time I went in there, it's just with open slack jaw, and you kind of look around and go, boy, where do I start? And it doesn't matter where you start. It's just everybody that's anybody in the world of golf is there. And you walk down the aisles and you're running into PGA Tour players, and you're running into some of the legends, the Chichi Rodriguez's and the Lee Trevino's and folks like that. Just, you know, it's like walking down Main Street and there they all are. So I'm a little bit sorry that I'm going to miss it this year, but so be it. We will just hope that everyone there has a great time.
Yeah, no doubt. It's like the Super Bowl for golf, and I can't wait to hear all about it. And, you know, it's exciting with the golf season starting again and the Hawaii tournaments just finishing up. It was great to watch some golf, especially over in Hawaii, and being jealous that I wasn't there. But I'm glad that the season's kicking off. And of course, Pebble Beach isn't that far away either, Frank.
Yeah, Pebble Beach is going to be interesting this year without the celebrities. It's one of the designated tournaments. I think that's the term they've used.
Yeah.
And a shortened field. And who knows? Who knows how people are going to react to that? Because with Bing Crosby and the clam bake all those years, it was a celebrity tournament. That's really what it was all about. Yeah. So we'll find out in February.
We will. I think people will be disappointed when they find out Bill Murray's not playing, for sure. There will be athlete celebrities there. It's a 2-day program versus three. So Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and Larry Fitzgerald and some of the great athletes who are good golfers too will be there on Thursday and Friday. But it's just two courses now with Pebble Beach and Spyglass. But the trade-off is you get the top 80 players in the world. A lot of players who would not play because of the excessively long rounds are now coming because it's a designated event. Rory McIlroy will be there. So it'll be interesting to see what the trade-off is in terms of having the elite of the elite versus not having some of the natural celebrities that you think of when you think of that tournament.
And the weather is such a factor in that tournament. Yeah. It can be beautiful puffy white clouds and blue skies wind and rain and just about everything else Mother Nature can throw at those guys.
So true.
You know, it's going to be an interesting year. 200-year anniversary is coming up that I'm aware of. It's going to be a 100-year anniversary for the William Land Golf Course, where Al Geiberger cut his teeth when he went to school at McClatchy. I know that there are some festivities planned for that, and those will unfold as we get a little later into it. But the park itself, I think, is maybe 3 or 4, 5, 6 years older than the golf course. And so they're finally getting around to the 100-year anniversary of William Land Golf Course.
That's exciting. I mean, obviously, the park is one of the most beautiful in Sacramento. The golf course itself is an institution. It's a great 9-hole course. And that's a big-time deal, celebrating 100.
100 year also for the State Fair golf tournament. Over the years, that's had some incredible players and incredible winners. Ken Venturi, George Archer, Al Geiberger, Dick Lotz, and many others have played. Cameron Champ.
Colin Morikawa.
Colin Morikawa, yeah, absolutely. And so this is the 100th anniversary of that, and we were talking the other day about what they might do to celebrate that, and so some plans for that as well. And again, all of that will unfold as we move forward. And that will be, what is the first weekend in September, I think.
Yeah, right there around Labor Day. That'll be a lot of fun. And we've got a pretty historic year coming in 2024.
Absolutely. Sacramento's old. So coming up on this show, as I mentioned earlier, Matt Jordan, PGA Master Professional, Director of Golf at the Olympic Club. We'll talk about the Olympic Club and what's going on there. And Philip Dawson, PGA, is the 2023 NCPGA Teacher and Coach of the Year, currently working out of Catavadera Country Club. He will talk about what's on his mind as well. So we have lots more for you on the Golf to Go Radio Hour.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
Thanks much for listening to the Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sacktown Sports 1140. Scott, our next guest, Matt Jordan, PGA, is a master professional, director of golf at the Olympic Club, and you had a chance to kind of see him in action at the 2023 NCPGA Awards dinner as Matt took home the NCPGA Private Merchandiser of the Year Award. Matt, welcome to the show.
Frank, Scott, thank you for letting me be here.
Absolutely. You know, we talked that night about getting you on the show, and you know, like all good intentions, it took a little while longer than we'd hoped, but here you are.
I thought you were just joking.
Absolutely not. You moved here from Florida. You had a pretty good run in Florida, and I want to talk about that. But I want to get the most important question out of the way first, Matt. And I think it's really important that I know this to get rid of any jealousy I might have. But since you've been there about 15 months now at Olympic Club, how many burger dogs have you had?
I have found the secret sauce is no more than two per day. If you have more than two per day, you're in some really serious trouble.
You have to understand that golf talk is really all about burger dog conversation. That's what it
fully
comes
loaded.
Down to.
The other thing that I discovered too with the burger dog stands is that they have an amazing tuna cup. They load this tuna cup up. My wife, Michelle, and I had a tuna cup, and she was bragging about that more than the burger dogs with her family. It's incredible.
It's been an institution at Olympic Club for so many years as this burger or hot dog stand actually used to be across Lake Merced, and the members would send the caddies over to get these burger dogs. And years ago, you guys invited Bill to come over and set up these stands, and his wife his daughter Candy now runs them. And they, you know, if you haven't had them, you know, I hate to have this private moment with Scott and Matt here, but they are available at Silverado Resort, so you can get them there. But absolutely incredible,
and in the Chase Center too.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot about that. You're absolutely right. I mentioned that you had come here from Florida. Tell me a little bit about your stay there in Florida and how you kind of look at Florida golf as opposed to golf here in Northern California.
Yeah, so originally from Ohio, and I was at a club up there that was a real estate development. And unfortunately, during those times in 2010 through 2012, real estate wasn't doing so well. So I relocated down to Florida and was lucky enough to open up Stream Song Resort right there in Central Florida, about an hour and a half southeast of Tampa, and fell in love with the area. I love Florida. I always wanted to be in Florida. It was a fabulous opportunity to open this brand new resort and start the culture fresh and build standard operating procedures and create some sort of a team that was there, and then a wonderful experience for the guests that arrived. So really, I love being in Florida. The thing that I didn't like about Florida was learning how to use a bounce angle on my wedge. You have all that sand that's there. Yeah. And it's really easy just to stub and chunk it. So my short game suffered as I was there. So I'm very happy to be back in bent grass and not necessarily worrying about my bounce angle as much here in Northern California.
That's a pretty good resume to go from Stream Song to Olympic Club. That's two pretty exciting facilities. What was your first reaction to Olympic Club?
Well, I tell you, what was interesting was when the position opened up, and I had really no intent of leaving Florida, but when this position opened up, as you alluded to earlier, I said, you know what? I played there 6-7 years ago. I've had a burger dog. I'll throw my name in the hat and let's see what happens. So it just kept maturing and knowing to have an opportunity to work at such a storied facility as the Olympic Club, and that's hosting more major championships. We've got the 25 U.S. Amateur, we have the 28 PGA Championship, the 30 U.S. Women's Amateur, and the 33 Ryder Cup. I said, this is a golf pro's dream come true. So very blessed to be over here. It was an easy move, although Michelle and I shared some private moments of crying, of either we're nervous or happy or, oh my God, what are we doing? We're very elated to be here and be part of this this family at the Olympic Club.
A lot of history there as well. Some incredible championships, some incredible stories. of some of the players and the names that we've all grown up with. And you're kind of clustered around Lake Merced there. And when you think about your neighbors, that's really kind of an incredible spot with all of the golf courses you've got, a stone's throw away.
I have quite a few of my friends that are in Florida that are hitting me up to come out for a little trip. And I said, you don't have to drive very far. I think the furthest you have to go is to Cal Club, and that might be 5 miles away. It's a wonderful piece of property for golf. It's really probably the best in the country.
You know, standing on that first tee, and especially when you get down to the hole, you get this view of the skyline of San Francisco, and it's all golf unfolding in front of you from there.
It sure is. And it's interesting, when I first got on property before we did the renovation with Gil, there were a lot more trees, and we dropped a couple of trees on purpose. And it was a shame as Gil marked these trees to open up that view that you're speaking of, which is incredible. Unfortunately, one of the worst winters that we had with storms also came through, and probably about 180 trees dropped between lake and ocean with all the wind that we had. So if we would have waited maybe a month, we might not have had to pay for all of that. It could have just happened naturally. But a lot of views out there. It's really incredible.
Talk a little bit about the redesign and Gil Hance and his vision and how it all came about.
Well, I tell you what, when we came out here 7 years ago for our little San Francisco trip and played some golf and went over to Napa, first golf course I played was here. And what an amazing golf course, just really incredible with all these trees and the green complexes and then the bunker complexes. And unfortunately, I went into a couple. So I know how steep these bunkers and how penal they were. And that's something that the membership didn't really were excited about. So when Gil came in here to restore the golf course, he noticed that the bunkers were really high and kind of making a lot of mounds. It looked out of place. So he brought the bunkers down, returned the green sizes to what they originally were. So in some cases, we picked up 1,500 more square feet. So that was one of the biggest changes that he did. He also took away the bunkers that were really close because he said, you know what, if you're an 18 handicapper, no one is really saying, if I bump and run this 5-iron from 75 yards up there, what kind of a shot am I going to have? So he moved the bunkers. He kept the pinching and moved them out. So it gave some more shot value for our membership to play, because the tour pros, they don't even see that. They just hit over it. It's not a big deal. So that was the biggest changes that he did. And then we only had one fairway bunker that was out there on number 6. So we added fairway bunkers. So we have fairway bunkers and a brand new hole on number 7. Shifted it completely to the right, it plays differently, but we have about 9 holes of fairway bunkers out there and widen the fairways. It's really a great change. We saw a lot of play that was on ocean. And now with this redesign or this renovation, I should say, everybody's returned back to the lake. Everybody and their brother and sister are playing the golf course. It's busy as all get out. And now we're seeing more of an equality of play of 50-50. It's really great.
That's got to be exciting when you're the director of golf there, and both courses are getting the kind of play that you're talking about. It's easier to move the people around as well too. You have another short course, which I think I've seen. I keep threatening to play it and never have, but talk about that as well. It's kind of a secret, really.
It really is, and I think it might be in the top 10 of par 3 golf courses. It's the Cliffs course. It's right there along the ocean. It's a 9-hole par 3 course. We have a variety of different tee boxes that are out there. So the first hole could play anywhere from 200 yards into the wind, which sounds really exciting to me, or you can move up to about 90 yards. So there's a variety of different tee boxes, a lot of different shots, and breathtaking views of the ocean. Really, really cool place. Now, it's funny with the way the golf course was, what I'm told before, and looking at numbers, it wasn't quite as busy. But now with COVID that hit, it's a regular golf course. We're seeing 120, 150 rounds over there on this par 3 golf course on the weekends. It's a great time for families and everybody.
Scott, I know you've had a burger dog. I'm not sure I ever asked. Have you ever had a chance to play Olympic Club or any of the courses there?
I unfortunately have never played the Olympic Club. You and I have to make a trip down there. I've been invited on several media day type things prior to the US Open. I've just never been able to make it. So we need to go visit Matt and come play a little bit.
You must do that.
You know, Yes. Now, I was just going to say, you mentioned Gil Hanson. Obviously, he's been famous in the golf world for a long time, but notably last year with the US Open and the LA Country Club and what he did there. You know, it's always the balance between keeping it at that elite level for the major tournaments that Olympic Club's going to have and keeping it at a level where the members are happy. And that's a tough balance, but he certainly has seemed to find that, Matt.
He certainly did, and we added a couple more tee boxes there, a couple more forward, so it's a lot more friendlier for our membership, and then some that went a little bit further back. Of course, number three is our par three, so you have to have a 250-yard downhill par three court or par three. So he did add some more tee boxes over there and a little different sight lines. It's he's done a pretty great job of making it fair and difficult for everybody.
Yeah, no question. I was just going to say too, obviously you mentioned the pandemic and COVID, and that really was the start of an incredible boom for golf, you know, in 2020, with everybody kind of getting back to normal life again here, 2023, now certainly in 2024. A lot of people are saying, well, maybe that will affect golf and the popularity will start to go back to levels where it was. I don't see that happening at all. I'm curious to you as you look out to 2024 and what you see in terms of some of the golf trends with the game and merchandise.
Yeah, we've been talking about that with some of our other golf professionals, and golf courses are getting so busy that us as golf pros, we're almost somewhat pushing back a little bit because we're trying to give the golf course a little bit of a breather. I think the way that golf is with this industry, as long as we're still creative, and I know time is of the essence, 4 hour rounds, some people aren't able to play 4 hours, or sometimes when it creeps up into 5 hours when you're having lunch and whatnot that's involved. As long as we're still creating programs to keep that excitement and figuring out ways to keep people engaged and not take as much time, I see golf just continuing to stay at this rate of growth.
Matt, when you think about the fact that you had been at Olympic Club about a year, and you garner this NCPGA award as Private Merchandiser of the Year, that's a pretty good first year for you. But tell me about your thoughts about the NCPGA and this section, and how you see it, kind of what it means for golf in Northern California.
Well, you've got some of the best golf courses in Northern California throughout the world. So it's pretty established with some wonderful golf professionals, some really amazing talent that's out here on this side of the country. I was pretty heavily involved with the North Florida section and made it to vice president before I accepted this wonderful position and came out here. And I'm really excited to be part of the NCPGA board of directors. I was just elected a few months ago, and really
Congratulations.
excited. Thank you. Really excited to be a part of the board and see what we can do about growing the game and our profession here within the section. But everybody that I've met has been so warm and welcoming, and just utmost professionals. So I'm very excited to be a part of this section and see what we can do about growing the game.
Matt, I'm interested that you mentioned that because we talk about growth so much. Where do you see the next level of growth, or what are you focused in on when you say that growth for the game?
Yeah, I think it's you see a lot of people that let's go back to when Tiger Woods entered into the scene, and that created a lot of excitement of people wanting to play golf, and they did. They started to play golf, but I think us as golf professionals and other people that are in the industry took that for granted. So I see a lot more player development classes. I see more opportunities of maybe playing 3 or 6 holes, something that where it's giving them a taste to go out and play golf and then go back to their family, whatever it might be. So I see a lot more creativity coming from golf professionals to keep people in this game. And also then in turn, give it to their kids and have their kids grow up playing golf more, and as that wasn't really necessarily the case in the past.
When you look at it personally, Matt, you know, I think everybody kind of comes back to center on the answer to this, but give me your take on what is it about the game? You know, what for people that don't play golf or don't understand the attraction, the fascination, the love, how would you describe, you know, your appreciation for the game?
It's funny. I remember when I was a kid, I was 7 years old, and my dad and I are watching television. And all of a sudden, he said, change the channel. And we change the channel and we get up to this beautiful green grass and this white sand. I'm from Ohio. I didn't see white sand before. I mean, you know, it was really breathtaking for me. And we continued to watch the tournament. And then we went out and played golf just to see what it was. It looked like it was an easy game and found out really it wasn't. And I think that was the attraction to me, was being outside, smelling the fresh cut grass, having peace, being out in nature, and having something that was challenging but really exciting, especially when you hit that really great shot. So I think the love of the game is something that when I started at 7 years old, all the way up until now, it continues. I'm still thrilled to hit a wonderful shot. I'm still thrilled to smell the fresh cut grass. I'm still thrilled to spend time with other people that are just as thrilled about it as I am, even though we do start to talk about our strokes from 2 years ago at various golf courses. Maybe I don't need to hear all of that, and I try not to do that myself, but it's just a wonderful game to be a part of. And I think that more people that get into it, the first thing they see or they tell me is that, wow, I didn't realize how tough this game is, and it's just so much fun to be outside and trying to hit this great shot. I think that that's where the love starts.
That's a great answer. I think it's important that I love to have the PGA professionals on the show, because you know, some of us will look at a PGA pro as, well, you know, this is the guy that's just going to teach me. And we forget that all of you have lives just like the rest of us. You know, you go home to a family, you have to cut the grass, you have to, you know, do all of the things that we do. But we all kind of, when we get back to the golf course, we're all kind of equal at that point. We're not going to play as well as some of you professionals, but we can play together. And that's one of the fascinations about the game, that a PGA professional who, you know, maybe a low single digit and a 15, 18, 20 handicapper can still play together as long as you're hitting your shots and keeping up and everybody's happy. It's a game that's really unlike any other.
Very much so.
Matt, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you spending some time with us, and how much I think the NorCal PGA is going to appreciate you being on the board, and you know, welcome to Northern California.
Thank you so much. Thanks for inviting me to be a part of this show. This has been incredible.
This is Matt Jordan, the Master Professional PGA Director of Golf at the Olympic Club. This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour, and we'll be back with more right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
Welcome back in. This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour. This is Sactown Sports 1140. Hi, I'm Frank LaRosa, your host, along with Philip Dawson. Our next guest, Philip Dawson, PGA, is the 2023 NCPGA Teacher Coach of the Year. And the last time Philip and I saw each other, we were both on stage at the NCPGA Annual Awards Banquet in Fairfield at Green Valley Country Club. And Philip, like all the other winners, accepted his award. And then we had a little interview with each of them and got to know them a little bit, and give Philip and the other award winners a chance to thank people along the way. Philip, welcome to the show.
Frank, thanks for having me, and really appreciated your kind words at the presentation, and you did an unreal job emceeing it. And I forgot, you know, the other thing was how wonderful your wife did taking all the pictures. So thank you so much for your family's involvement.
Thank you. She probably works harder than me. Well, I know she works harder than me, but
she was hustling all night. My wife noticed it right off the bat. She was like, man, she's into this. She's going for it. So it was great.
Well, thank you. I'll pass that along.
Please do.
Philip, that's no slough award you won there, the NCPGA Teacher Coach of the Year. When you think about, 1,100 members in the section in Northern California, and certainly not all of them are teaching, but a good deal of them are, to be named the Teacher of the Year, that had to make you feel pretty good.
Oh, man, it was, this weird combination of exciting, humbling, and a sense of relief also. You know, you work really hard for those awards, but certainly, you know, we have a really strong section, whether it's competitively or for all these awards. You know, we're just blessed to have a bunch of great people in our section, and, you know, to be chosen by my peers as the top teacher coach this year. You know, I really don't have the words it was just humbling. And like I said, almost a little sense of relief too, you know, work really hard for this stuff.
How long have you been in the PGA?
Well, I had to be in 10 years before I was eligible. So last year was my 10th year. You know, I came from more of a playing background, Frank. So, you know, I kind of started my PGA career a little bit later than most, I would say. You know, I was playing until I was close to 30. Mm-hmm. And, you know, once I, you know, kind of was done playing, I got in the PGA and kind of got my stuff organized as I was teaching and went through the program. So this is my 11th year as a Class A member. Gosh, if you go back to the beginning, I'm going to guess probably 13 or 14 years since I originally kind of started the program.
And when you say playing, we should point out that we're talking about competitively playing in tour events and so on along the way. You went out and put yourself on the line and played against some of the best.
Yeah, you know, I was blessed. You know, after I left college early to turn pro, I played at Sacramento State. You know, I wasn't a crazy elite junior and I wasn't a crazy elite amateur. I would just say I was good, you know, occasionally would win a tournament and was competitive in a bunch of them. And I started a little later than most because I was a high level soccer player. So I kind of got into golf seriously, not until high school. And, but yeah, I played a couple years on PGA Tour Canada, you know, went to Q school, I don't know, 7 or 8 times, you know, played mini tours, kind of played all over the place in Canada and the United States and Mexico. And it was really just, you know, it was awesome. I got to live my dream. I got to go, I did some cool things. I shot a 60 in a mini tour event. I, you know, I'll be honest, I don't have any great, great wins. Won some mini tour events, but, you know, no big, big events. But certainly, you know, I got to a point late in my career where I had a chance to make it. You know, I was good enough. And it was a huge blessing. And, you know, hey, maybe my playing career and, you know, my successes and definitely more failures was what prepared me to coach some of these young kids that I do that are fine players. Cause I feel like God pointed me in this way at some point, you know, and, you know, I still kind of wish in hindsight it was playing, but man, I love what I get to do today and helping young people.
And you've helped some incredible players along the way, some tour players, some high level collegiate players and some beginners, I'm guessing as well. The notion of your competitive experience has got to be so valuable in teaching lessons, because as we all know, the game is a whole lot more than just you know, trying to get the ball in the hole. The mental side, and I always caution when I use the mental side, because it sounds so tedious, but the notion of thinking your way around the golf course and thinking your way to be prepared for a shot and so on and so forth, that competitive experience of yours has to be invaluable with your students.
You know, I always joke with the kids that I coach, they're never going to probably do something in competition I haven't done, right? I mean, I've played great and won and shot that 160 and I did that in a tournament actually. So that was really cool. I never shot that at home for fun. And I've, you know, obviously played embarrassingly bad and lots of in between. So, you know, anything that they deal with, I'm pretty well equipped to understand where they're coming from. And certainly, you know, I've failed so many times. It's, you can't even count them. And, you know, I've had some successes as well. So I think it's helpful. I understand what they're going. I still try to play competitive golf. I'm planning on, now that I got this award, I'm planning on taking my own game a little more seriously again this year. You know, I'm only a handful of years away from turning 50. So, you know, I'm not saying I want to play Champions Tour or not. We'll just kind of see what happens, but certainly I'll have some interest in the senior PGA and the US Senior Open when I get there. And, you know, so just hopefully stay on top of my fitness. But yeah, more than anything, I honestly play competitive golf now for my students. I want to know how they feel being nervous. I want to know how they feel when they win. I want to know how they feel when they choke. I want to know how they feel, you know, all the things in between. And so the beauty of competitive golf is you never stop learning. And I do think that that's something important to coaching, especially in coaching competitive players, that I think staying current with your own game and understanding how they're feeling, you know, that way, you know what they're experiencing.
You say you never stop learning, which is true, but you started learning somewhere. Where did this all begin for you? And talk about some of the great instructors you've had along the way.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, I started late. I kind of started playing around the time my parents split up, and it was kind of a little bit of maybe my own personal escape, you know, to kind of my dad, when I was a kid, was super involved with my soccer, and he wasn't going to be as around as much. And so I, my sister's boyfriend in high school, he was a scratchish golfer, and he took me out to play one day, and I was hooked. And so, you know, kind of through high school, I, you know, did the usual and kind of took lessons from the local club pros. I tended to work at a country club, so I had a place to practice. And, you know, I think our generation, you know, that was more normal, where I worked somewhere so I could practice somewhere and I didn't have to pay for a country club membership. So certainly the first two PGA pros I got to know well were Steve Fry at Cameron Park and Randy Thomas at Cold Springs. And then I think it was my sophomore summer, I got an honorary membership at Cameron Park, and, you know, Steve Fry and another gentleman, Steve Huppert, who was my high school golf coach and is still my dentist to this day. they helped me do that. So without those opportunities, you know, which is something I try and keep an awareness of when you're dealing with young people, you know, I probably wouldn't be in the golf business if it weren't for those men. And, you know, then kind of once I kind of got through high school and early college, you know, then I started seeking out some world-class teachers, certainly not to take anything away from the people I'd taken lessons from, but, you know, I was trying to become one of the best players in the world. And so Dean Reimuth in San Diego was probably the first big name I went to see. And then I was really blessed. I had a close friend who was working for Dick Harmon, Butch's brother, you know, of kind of the royal family of teaching. I always call them in golf, the Harmons, you know, and Dick was an amazing man. I mean, just, you know, salt of the earth kind of guy, treated me like a son, even though he barely knew me, always kind of spoiled me when I was there. And, you know, then late in my career, I had the greatest experience of all time, which is Laird Small at Pebble Beach. You know, he's my second dad. He's my mentor. I don't have the words to describe my gratitude for Laird. He was kind of filled a bunch of different roles and still does. And that was honestly the coolest part about the teaching forum was, you know, to get to present back-to-back days. And he was one of the presenters. I mean, that was probably one of the highlights of my teaching career, honestly.
Were you nervous about that? I mean, that's a really interesting. I wasn't even aware of that, but that's kind of an interesting situation there.
Pretty cool, right? I was not nervous. I was a little nervous the night before we started presenting. I knew in the morning we were just starting on the stage, and, you know, I think as teachers we're used to being out with students and doing clinics and stuff like that. But, you know, standing on a stage with the lights on you, and I was up there with two other, you know, top 50 teachers in the world, which is fun for me. You know, I love that stuff. But when Laird showed up to my presentation on day one, my anxiety skyrocketed. You know, you don't want to let dad down, sure. You know? So yeah. I knew he was probably judging everything I was saying. And I think it was later that afternoon, Laird's always been very direct with me. And when he told me I did a really nice job, that meant a lot.
So that's an interesting situation when you have a room full of instructors like that. So I guess this next question is probably two parts. We're talking with Philip Dawson, PGA 2023 NCPGA Teacher of the Year. At the teaching forum that just concluded, what was your presentation about? So I guess what I'm saying is what did you teach? And at the same time, after being there with all these others, what did you learn?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They did a really cool thing this year because it was our first time back, A, all in person, and B, we got to do it outdoors. And so, you know, I've gone to a few of those in the past where we were all kind of, you know, you're just in a big ballroom.
Right.
And, you know, I like getting outside and being able to hit shots and getting a little more in person with people. So I thought that was great. And then the hugest blessing of all was we got to do it at Lake Merced. And I don't know if anyone's been to Lake Merced since they redid the whole facility, but I mean, Nick Bailey and Pat Steffes, the GM and the head pro there. I mean, what a blessing to have that place. It was unbelievable. You know, Corey walked outside, one of my students who kind of demonstrated and hit shots while I talked. And he hadn't been there since he was Open Sectionals about 4 or 5 years ago. We both played there and he was just mind blown by how cool it was. I mean, it's unbelievable. So, you know, we kind of did that. I presented on short game predominantly outside. They kind of let us, I think, pick. And George Gankus was there. And I think, you know, George is kind of like a really You know, he's a big name in teaching right now, and I think he's created a cool persona brand, and he's very unique. And I kind of felt everyone wanted to see him on Full Swing, right? Because he's got some, for lack of a better term, non-traditional thoughts, right? And so I thought that was cool. And so I did Short Game. It was great. You know, it was great having Corey there to kind of show off his skills and kind of talk through some of the nuances that a good player has. I'm sure we'll get into that a little bit. What did I learn? You know, my favorite part was being up on the stage with the other teachers during the Q&A part. And I thought it was really great that, you know, even though we might not agree on everything, it was very respectful. I kind of felt that, you know, really it just made me hyper aware going to tour events or being at stuff like that, that there's no one way to do it, even if I believe there's the most efficient way, and sure, that we have to keep an open mind. And like you said, we got to find the best teacher for us. You know, we're all new, unique, and we're all different. And, you know, someone's thoughts and ideas are going to be logical and make sense to us and get us excited. And somebody else's, we're going to look at like they're crazy. And that's what makes teaching great, is we all get to be individuals and present our information as we like it. And that's what I loved most about it. So yeah, that's what I think I learned most, was just that, you know, there is no one way. There's a bunch of ways that can work.
You mentioned Corey. You were talking about Corey Pereira, who is a tour player that you've worked with for many years and developed an extremely close relationship, and actually got to caddy for him in a major as well.
That was awesome.
Bring us up to date on Corey.
Yeah, you know, Corey and I, he was, when I was playing PGA Tour Canada, he was the little kid on the range that would nag me to go play golf or help him with his swing, right? So that was probably how we started our coaching and player relationship, was, you know, I'd be home from playing tour golf and he'd go play golf with me, or we'd be hitting balls on the range in the afternoon and I'd give him some suggestions. You know, Corey went on to be top 10 junior in the country, top 10 amateur in the world. I think he was a second ranked American in the world at one point in college, four or five college wins. He was, you know, all American, all Pac-12, all everything. Shot 26 under, one on the Canadian tour, back-to-back 62s in the Pacific. I mean, again, I can sit here and ramble on about his resume. It's incredible. Mine doesn't even sniff it. And, you know, I got the caddy for him this year in the US Open. So I think really, honestly, Frank, for me, I was blessed to have Corey and Cameron Champ. I was coaching both of them in high school simultaneously, and they were both top 10 juniors in the country at the same time. And that made me look really smart. I don't coach Cameron today. We're still good friends. And I actually got a really nice note from his dad when I got Feature of the Year. But, you know, I was able to coach both those young men when I was early on in my teaching career. And that really kind of, honestly, you know, put me on the map, so to speak, and made me look legitimate, I guess you would say. But Corey's doing great. Unfortunately, as many of your viewers probably know from interviews in the past, or maybe seeing his story on the Golf Channel when we were at the US Open last year, Corey's longtime girlfriend that he met in college has cancer, and she had beaten it back and was in remission, and now it's back. And so God bless him. I'm super proud of both of them. He's kind of put his career on hold, and, you know, he's just kind of helping Leah get through her treatments. And, you know, yeah, I don't have the words to describe my pride for him, because, I mean, that's just not an easy situation for either of them. And my wife and I love them like our kids. You know, I've coached Corey so long. So God bless them. It looks like the drugs are working very good again this time, and we're just hopeful this time they'll beat it for good.
We wish him continued success, as everyone does, I'm sure.
Yes, sir.
Philip, for listeners, and I've asked this question of a number of people, and as you pointed out, you know, everybody has kind of a different approach. How would I go find a coach? How would I find a teacher that fits with my personality? That we're not going to waste time, that we're going to speak the same language, and, you know, and when I say me, certainly I'm talking about all our listeners. How do we assure ourselves that we're going to find the right person?
Yeah. You know, one thing I do love about social media is it does give you an insight into the person, right? So if you kind of find someone on social media and their information makes sense to you and it clicks, I think that's a great place to start, right? Word of mouth, you know, talk to some of your friends, you know, for parents, if you're at tournaments, you know, talk to other kids' parents or college coaches and see who's kind of coaching the top players in that regard. But yeah, I think social media is a good way. And then I think a little bit early, I don't mind some trial and error. I always tell new students, jokingly, I always tell them, I say, hey, I'm not for everybody. I'm not for everybody. Ask my first wife. So, I like them to come. We go through a session. If they like what they hear and it's logical and makes sense to them, they're going to come back. And if not, I'm happy to suggest some of my friends in the business that I think are very good as well. The teaching community is pretty tight knit. And, I appreciate everybody. I don't look at them as competition. I look at them as my peers and my friends. And, we're all presenting information, and some people are going to like it and some people aren't. Speaking for myself, I tend to be very direct. I kind of picked that up from Laird. He always just gave it to me straight. Because I have coached a lot of high end competitive players and I failed in my own, journey in trying to accomplish that. I do push people really hard. I really don't kind of take it easy on anyone. And so if someone's just looking for a tip or someone to make them feel good and not push them hard, I'm probably not a great coach, honestly. And again, that's just my style, right? So, but yeah, I think go try one, see if someone clicks with you. And I think social media is a great way to get a little bit of a insight into somebody's methodology and what they believe in, and maybe even their delivery mechanism of how they like to talk about it.
So if listeners think that you do fit their profile, how do we get a hold of you?
Yeah, so the best thing to do is just, you can Google me and write Philip Dawson Jr. But I have a website. It's just Philip with one L, Dawson, and then Jr. just JR, Golf. And you can find me there. My academy is called Performance Golf Academy. So if you go Google search that, it's going to come up. I'm actually right now, I'm taking over as director of instruction at Old Greenwood up in Truckee, where they have the PGA Tour Barracuda Championship this year. So we're kind of re-engineering the website right now. And so that's going to be updated and new here coming up. And then I'm at Cotto Verdera Country Club in Lincoln, California, which has been a massive blessing for me. We have a beautiful grass range. We always have really great range balls. And, Clint Bassett, the GM there, and Nick Banks, the head pro. What I do is unique because I coach a lot of people who aren't members there. And again, I've just been so blessed in my golf career to be surrounded by, great mentors and people that are willing to kind of help me along. So yeah, the best thing to do, and my email and my phone number is really easy to find online or on my website. So that's probably the best way to do it. But yeah, philipdawsonjrgolf.com is currently my website. It's going to be changing now with Old Greenwood getting integrated.
What a great facility that is at Old Greenwood as well. And that's,
oh man. Yeah, we got some exciting stuff, Frank, coming up. I really would love to have you come up this summer and take a look. We're redoing the academy building at the back. We're going to be doing some new exciting corporate stuff. And there you go again. I get to follow in the footsteps of another legend, right? Which is Keith Leifert, who's been there for 14 years.
Sure.
And people like Keith and Laird. I mean, again, I don't have the words to thank them enough.
Philip, I'm not sure how to thank you. I appreciate you spending some time with us today. Congratulations on your NCPGA Teacher Coach of the Year award, and we wish you continued success. And yes, I will come up to Old Greenwood. Not that I need an excuse, but that's a great place to talk a bit and just kind of sit and relax and take in the nature and the wonder of the world.
Yes, sir. Well, Frank, thanks so much, and congratulations on all your success, and humbled to be on your show again. I look forward to doing it again soon.
Look forward to it. This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour. This wraps up another edition. Back next week at the same time, same place. By the way, it's a game. It's supposed to be fun. So keep smiling, enjoy it, and we'll see you next time around.